Did you know that early in the Bible, God makes a mistake? Or I guess you could say it, God learns something new. Maybe that's never occurred to you, but if you go and read it, it's in Genesis 2, starting in verse 4b. If you go read that, God tells, there's a story where God is creating humans, and he creates one human, and that human is out there, and God goes, hey, you good? And the human goes, no, I need another partner. I need something, someone to be a companion with me. And God goes, cool, I'm going to create some animals. And the human goes, okay. And so God creates dogs, fish, birds, all these animals. And every single one of them, the human just goes, nah, this ain't cutting it. And so God then goes, hold on, let me try something else. And puts the human into a deep sleep, basically creates another human from this human. And the human is so excited that there's been another human created that the human starts singing a song about how cool having another human is for this human. And I think what's cool about this story is not only that God sort of is learning on the fly about what humans need, which is a crazy idea to think about, right? That God is learning what humans need, but also that what God eventually learns is this deep truth that we actually need other people in our lives. And so throughout this next series, we're going to be exploring this idea of you are not alone, how we need other people. And so to kick it off today, our pastor of Congregational Care, Sally Campbell Evans, is going to be exploring that story from Genesis. You can go and read it for yourself about how God created one human and then decided, wait a second, humans work better with more than one at a time. So it's a really fun story. It's a really great sermon. I hope you get something from it. Check it out.
Well, happy new year. Happy Epiphany Sunday. The Magi have been searching the skies to find Jesus, the celebration of light coming into the world. And speaking of lights, I have thoroughly enjoyed seeing all the lights around town this Christmas season. In fact, lately I've been taking walks in the evenings just so I can get a closer look at my neighbor's lights, trying to get some ideas for next year. In my neighborhood, there is a street that curves off of the main road. It has about a dozen houses on it, and I know a few of the people who live there. Some are families, some are elderly couples, a few individuals who live alone. Some folks are retired, some have health issues, and some can barely keep up the pace with their children's activities. But this year, that whole street chose to work together to debut their new matching decorations, and they all decided to have the same large, inflatable, lighted Christmas Santa in their front yards. They even made a big sign for the street that said, "Welcome to Santa Street." To be sure, I have walked down this street several times in recent weeks, and as I did, I realized that, you know, I know a few of these folks. But who lives in the houses of the people that I don't know? What are they like? How's it going for them? How did it make them feel to be a part of this coordinated little celebration of joy? Indeed, each time that I walked or rode my bike down their street, a smile came to my face as I was celebrating with these neighbors who connected with each other and who brought joy, wonder, light, and a little lightheartedness to our world this Christmas. Yes, it was a fun and easy way for them to connect with each other and share a bit of happiness with the larger community. And I was struck by this because I am quite aware that there are a lot of lonely people in this world, people whose jobs are uncertain, whose questions about the future are many, whose loved one is perhaps no longer present in their lives. And sometimes this season highlights our isolation and separation from one another. It highlights our loneliness, and being lonely at any time is hard. Like most people, I have experienced bouts of loneliness, and I've heard stories from some of you about experiences of being lonely as well. In fact, as I've been preparing for this sermon, I've been reading about loneliness, and I learned that we have an epidemic of loneliness in the United States. And I truly believe that there are few things more difficult to bear than loneliness. I even read that some prisoners held in solitary confinement have told of rejoicing to see even a spider. At least it's something alive. Now that is lonely. And for some reason this week, I keep thinking of that old movie starring Tom Hanks called Castaway. Yes, thinking about it, the loneliness of Hanks' character, Chuck Nolan, well, it just broke my heart again. If you don't remember it, it's a movie, it's the story of Chuck Nolan, played by Tom Hanks, who is a Federal Express, a FedEx engineer, and he travels the world resolving productivity problems. And pretty early in the movie, it's Christmas Eve, and Chuck proposes marriage to his girlfriend, Kelly. He does this just before embarking on a work assignment to Malaysia. And while on the assignment, Chuck's plane gets caught in a violent storm, and it crashes. And this leaves Chuck as the sole survivor, and he's stranded on a remote island. So now his fast-paced life is slowed to a crawl, and he's miles from any human contact. He's isolated, alone, and lonely, and he doesn't know if or when he might be rescued. As FedEx packages begin to wash ashore, Chuck uses what he can find just to survive. And one of the unusual things that helped him survive was a Wilson volleyball. You might remember it. That's right. Being totally alone, he adopts Wilson, that's what he names him, as his conversation partner. He talks to Wilson, the volleyball, and Wilson becomes like his conscience and everything else. Wilson is Chuck's need for companionship personified. And let me say that Wilson plays his role really well. I mean, after all, Wilson is reliable. He's quiet, and he's a great listener because, well, Chuck needs a good sounding board if he's going to stay sane on the island. Now, it's true they have occasional disagreements like any friends, but Wilson is always there for Chuck. I mean, Wilson even understands Chuck's jokes like, "Hey, Wilson, you want to hear something funny? My dentist is named James Spaulding." That's a little sports equipment joke. Chuck Nolan is so lonely and needs companionship so badly that he creates an imaginary friend with whom he bonds deeply. Now, it's true in the movie, Chuck has no choice in the matter. There are no other humans around. But I want to say for the rest of us, for those of us who don't live on a remote, deserted island, living isolated, lonely lives is not what God intends for us, God's beloved children. God created us, you and me, as communal beings, and God wants to be in relationship with us and for us to be in relationship with others. So now I'd like us to turn to our scripture today, to the Bible, from those early chapters of Genesis. From the book of Genesis, we see that God has created this world and called it good. There are two creation stories. In Genesis 1, the transcendent, glorious God of the universe speaks from afar. He speaks the world into being, and the world comes to life. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then he says, "And let there be light," and there was light. In Genesis 2, there's another equal truth that is told. In Genesis 2, we learn that our loving God comes humbly among us as a gardener, walking in the garden, stooping down and scooping up the dirt and fashioning us like a sculptor until God's art, God's creation, is just right. Yes, taking raw earth, in Hebrew the word is Adama, and shaping it into a human being, Adam, human out of humus or humus. God has created the human, Adam or Adam, Hebrew word for earth creature, and called the human being good. Then in verse 15, God places the human in the garden and gives him a job to do. His job is to work it and to guard it. Verse 15 says, "The Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and keep it." But then something unexpected happens. It's like God notices the man's loneliness and looks around at what God has made and sees that the human is alone. So God, get this, God gives God's self a less than perfect grade. Listen, "The Lord God said, it is not good. It is not good for the human to be alone." Yes, God noticed what it's like for us, for humans, to be without a friend in the world. How sad. How alone. How unknown. I think we all know what that feels like, don't we? Now, I don't mean the temporary, sometimes quite welcome, feeling of quiet, but that heart-wrenching struggle of trying to get through life with no other creature who knows or cares even that you're alive. My heart aches for many in this world, for the widower who's lost without a spouse, for the parent whose child cannot break their addiction, for the teen who's aged out of foster care and doesn't know where to turn, for the CEO who feels the weight of the world on his shoulders and not a soul with whom that one can share the struggles he has. It is not good for the human to be alone, God said. So God willed that we should not be stuck on a deserted island or in solitary confinement, but rather we should have company for this journey of life. And so God goes back to the workbench and keeps on creating. And it doesn't seem just yet that God is even sure of what the right pairing will be. Think about that. This is how one pastor, Jonathan Davis, put it. Let's see. God starts with pets for Adam. God digs God's fingers into the earth and creates animals of the field and birds of the air. And all of them are brought to the human for naming and evaluation, not for domination, but for relationship. Hey, Adam, what do you think about this one? Nah. Okay, well, how about this one? No. There were cows and goats and surely a black lab and a golden doodle. There were llamas and groundhogs and chickadees and bluebirds and ravens and hummingbirds and elephants even. And all of these creatures are brought to the human so as not to be alone. But as wonderful as all these creatures were, none of them was just right. But then out of the human is created the equal partner. And Adam says, yes, this, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, this is just right. Bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, that's like Hebrew lingo for something that is spot on for you. In the 1950s, one might have said, now that one is the bee's knees. Or more modern translation could be, that one, that's my jam. Or no doubt Goldilocks would say, this one is just right. You get the point. To be able to say, yes, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, this is just right for me. That is God's desire for human life. It's an equal. It's an ally. It's a partnership. Traditionally, we think of this as marriage, but whether through marriage or friendship or connected through various human conditions, we all long to live in a community that is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. That is God's desire for us, for it isn't good for the human to be alone. Friends, we are living with an epidemic of loneliness in this country. Our cultural landscape is so deeply divided, and truly there are few things that are more difficult to bear than loneliness. Life can be so hard, and yet we know that God desires for us, all of us, to be in relationship with one another. And so we're embarking on this sermon series called You Are Not Alone. That's right, because we're human, and we crave connection with one another, along with healthy and other life-giving relationships that enable us to live fully as God intends. Over these next few weeks, we'll be exploring various kinds of human connection so that we together can discover spiritual insights for helping all of us flourish in community rather than live in isolation. Because isolation, it is not what God intends for the creation. So how are we going to do this? Well, first, I think we need to cultivate a culture of connection. We need to nurture our relationships, all those relationships among us. And we need to see the sacred spark in one another and offer a hand of friendship and love and support. I want to say thanks to God for the church, the institution that reminds us that we are not only individuals created and loved by God, but that we become fully ourselves, only in relationship, only in community. As we begin this new year together, I hope that you will hear and believe what we learned from these early chapters of Genesis. And that is that you are created in God's own image. You are filled with God's own breath and spirit. You are given the earth and all the creatures to tend and care for, and they're in your hands now. And above all, you are not meant to be alone. You're meant to be fully known. You're meant to be who you really are. And God's dearest hope for you is that you are never, ever needing to feel ashamed. For you are, and you always will be, God's own beloved child. Will you pray with me? Oh, Holy One, you look at us and you call us good. And you want us to see each other the way you do, as if we're looking at the world through your eyes. It is your breath that gives life to each of us and to the person next to us, as well as the people who drive us just a little bit crazy. Thank you for giving us life and for making us beings who crave connection. Help us nurture our relationships and cultivate our connections this week, even those challenging ones. Help us do this in celebration of the fact that you have created us and called us good. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Hey, thanks so much for joining us today for this message and for the start of this series. We've got some opportunities and events coming up over the next couple of weeks to help you get connected into community. You can find out more about those down below in the notes and at our Next Steps page, where you can find reflection questions and connect into a small group where you can go deeper with this message. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm Matt Hotho, and I'll see you next time.